And we have just sang the song that we are headed to the place in glory where the soul of man never dies. But I'm reminded that we need to be comforted with is that, you know, I remember the incident in Luke chapter 16, I believe it was, of the rich man and Lazarus. Now, the rich man died. Lazarus died. The both men died. But the rich man went to hell. But Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, which is a peace and rest and comfort. I'm going to tell you, the scripture says that the soul is never going to die in hell. It says that the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. So, there is a real place of hell and of judgment. We need to realize that. And so, the rich man saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. Now, I don't know their speculations, but I don't know. It says, the scripture says that he saw, the rich man saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Now, I don't know where Lazarus could see him or not. The Lord may not allow his people that's in comfort and in heaven to see bad things. I don't know. But it says that the rich man saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, and he asked and requested that Abraham send somebody. To dip his water in finger in water and touch his tongue, give him relief. But he said there's a great gulf fixed between you and me. But he says, I'm in torment. He needs relief. He said, but he says, I can't send anybody. And he said, well, just go tell my brothers that's left to tell them to be sure not to come here. Or if he would send somebody from the dead to go and to tell them not to come here because of these torments. But he says, we can't do that. He says, if you don't believe Moses and the prophets. So the important thing is that we, as a people of God, listen and obey and trust in the only living God. Now, I want to speak with us this morning a little bit on comfort. Man, I need some comfort and I need some peace. We all do in the world in which we live. And the only way that we can have true comfort and true peace is in the relationship that we have with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because He is peace. Shalom, peace, and comfort. The dictionary says that comfort is the state of physical ease and freedom from pain or constraint. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 26. in verse 3. It says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So it's very important that we have a confidence and a trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Abraham had a trust and confidence in God. It says that he did not stagger at the promises of God. So we, as the elect of God and the children of God, that we are to have that confidence. Perfect peace. Shalom means peace. The expression here in Isaiah 26:3 says that stayed, that your mind is stayed on thee. Now, the expression stayed means to lean on God in total confidence and security. You know, we know without a shadow of doubt of Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things work together for God to them that love God and those that are according to his will and his purpose. That's called according to his will and his purpose. So, total trust and confidence. I'm reminded of the Daniel in the lion's den. Now, Daniel had total confidence in God. He didn't care who knew that he served God. He would open his windows toward Jerusalem and he would pray three times a day. So one day, some of the rulers and the Pharisees or whoever they were come by and heard him praying. So they turned him into the authorities, and they, king, made a ruling. And anybody that bowed down and served the true and the living God and not their God, that they would be thrown into the lion's den. But that didn't deter Daniel from having the confidence in God that he would preserve him, that he would be with him, he would go with him. And we have the promise that Jesus told us that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So we find that that day when they came and got Daniel and put him in a lion's den. But Daniel was calm, I think. He didn't, the scriptures don't say, but he was put there. And the Lord took care of the lions, didn't he? He locked their jaws, and they did him no harm. The king came the next morning calling, Daniel, Daniel, has thy God delivered thee? You know, the king, you believe that Daniel's God would deliver him. And he was hoping he would, because he said he worried all night about him, didn't he? So Daniel had a good night's rest there in the lion's den. And so we find that Daniel took Daniel out of the lion's den, and all the people that was involved in putting him in there was thrown into the lion's den. And the scripture says that they were consumed before they hit the bottom of the pit. Now, we have a sovereign God is in control of all things, all events, all times and all places with all people. I believe that. There is some teachings and believe in the religious world today that God is not working out and in control of what's going on today. But he works according to Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35, Nebuchadnezzar learned a lesson. And he says, the inhabitants of the earth is refuted as nothing. The Lord has his way in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou? So therefore, our God is in control. He's in control today. We are fussing and kicking and knocking and going around and all upset about what has happened today, and we should be concerned what's going on in our nation and the world today. But I believe, and this is my personal belief, that we are a sinful nation. We have allowed sinful politicians to take over. And who's in control now is ungodly people. And I believe including the president. But you know, in times past, God has used sinful kings and people to bring about his will and his purpose. And I believe that that's what he is doing today. I believe that this nation is under judgment at this moment. I believe that he has allowed those that's in charge and the president that we have that's in charge, that he is permitting him and allowing him to do some things to bring maybe we call tribulation. Now the purpose of that would be, and the way that God brings his people or to humble him, his people, is through trials and tribulation. The scripture says, anyone that lives godly shall suffer persecution. So we shouldn't be surprised at what's happening today with the sins that we have permitted in our nation. Homosexuality, same-sex marriage, transgender, all of this, according to the Lord in Leviticus chapter 18, is an abomination to God. And he will not put up with it forever. That's what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. They were in deep sin and all. And Lot was caught up in it as one of God's people. He said his soul was vexed every day. So our souls may be vexed every day as things happen in our nation today. But it's for a purpose. And it is, I believe, to bring us to the point that we have to look up to him and realize that we are not in charge, that we cannot do anything but put our total trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the true and the living God. So, that's where we are today. And the Lord knows how to humble people. Because Nebuchadnezzar made a reference to that in Daniel chapter 4, verses 36 and following. He says that God knows how to humble the proud. So, trust is the ultimate expression of that confidence. If we have confidence in something, then we trust in that. So, the object of one's faith is as important as the act of trust. Here, we have the object of our faith is the Lord Jehovah, the Almighty God. He is the object of our faith. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God command to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. Now this is the children of Israel. He's giving a commandment to them that to go into the promised land or to Canaan and to be successful. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all of his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that their days may be prolonged. That we might fear God. I believe that's where we are today, that even amongst some of God's elect and God's people, that we don't have the fear of God in our heart as we should, because we wouldn't act the way we do sometimes. So, the fear of God. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that flourish with milk and honey. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou suffer and when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon their hand, and they shall be as frontlets between their eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. We, as the people of God, are to be teaching our children day and night, in our homes and in our everyday lives, that they will know how to trust and to obey the true and the living God. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers. And thou shalt remember all the days which the Lord thy God led thee 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, and to prove thee, to know that what was in thine heart, which thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. What is in our heart? Are we really, truly in our hearts, trust in God as we should. The scripture says it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, it's what comes out of a man that defiles him, because what comes out of me is what I really am. So the scripture says that we are to shed abroad in our hearts the word of God, that we might not sin against God. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because thou trustest in him. John 14, verses 1 through 6. Let not your hearts be troubled. We can have comfort and peace. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then in verse 6 says, Jesus said to Thomas and other disciples that was there, said, they asked him, said, how can we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. John 6:44 says, no man can come to me except my Father draw. That word can there, that we don't have the ability to come to God apart from the quickening power and work of the Holy Spirit. Says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, ye who he has quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sin. A dead person can't do anything. We have to be made alive to realize what's going on. So, be comforted. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me, Jesus said. Psalm 4 and 8 says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. That's all the safety and all the peace that we have today. That's the only reason I can lay down at night now and get a good night's rest, is because that I know that my God is sovereign and he's in control and he's watching and caring for. And you know, another incident that happened, which see that God, if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 26 and verse 12 and following, Saul was after David. He was always wanting to kill David. So they come into, and he gathered up an army, I believe, according to it says, of about 3,000 men. And they were camped in the valley. So David sent some spies out to see exactly where they were. So they come back and told him and said they were, Saul was, and all the armies were asleep. And so, the scripture says that God gave them a deep sleep. So, David went in to the camp there, and Saul was laying there in the ditch, and all of his men around him was asleep. Nobody ever knew it. David went in. Where Saul was laying, he had his sword stuck down in the ground beside of him, and his water jug there beside of him. David went in and took his sword and took his water jug and left and went over across the hall. We call it a holler, but over the valley. And David called unto the captain. And he said some things that kind of mocked him, you know, making fun of him, because he said, I come in and got the sword and the jug, and nobody ever knew. So, see, God, He controls the enemy. He controls. You know, even in Moses, in Job's incident, the devil could only do what God permitted him to do. He said, you can do anything you want to him, but you can't take his life. So I'm glad to know that God, that's the reason we can have confidence and we can rest, that God is in control of all these evil forces. They can just go so far. He has set the bounds. Just like He has set the bounds of the waters, the ocean. You know, we go down to the ocean, and those waters and those waves come up so far. And then they go back out. Why is that? Because God is in control. That He says, I have set the bounds of the waves of the sea, that they can't come no further. Isn't that a comfort? Isn't that a blessing? Hosea 4 and 6 says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of my God. I will also forget thy children. Now we see here that in this instant, you know, the priest was the leading teachers and guide for the law and the spiritual realm and the teaching of the law. Well, they had forsook the teaching of the Word of God. And God said here that you have rejected knowledge. And He said, I'm going to reject you as priest. The priests were spiritual leaders and teachers, but they neglected their responsibility to educate the nation with knowledge of God as revealed through the law. As a result of these priest failures, God pronounced judgment on the priesthood and on the whole nation. That's the reason it is so important today that we, as a true New Testament Baptist church, I believe, that we don't need to neglect the teaching, the purity of the Word of God, the way that God has said it in His Word. I'm afraid that it's a lot in the religious world today, as these priests, that they are neglecting to tell the whole truth about the Word of God. You know, a half-truth is just like a full lie. So, the cause of man's problem is the lack of knowledge. It says that we perish because of lack of knowledge. It does not stem from a shortage of information, but rather from rejection of information. We have plenty. We have plenty information. Complete. All that's needed for our life and our practice in the world today. But we have the lack of knowledge of it because we're not studying it and we're not teaching it and not applying it to our hearts and lives. Psalm 29:11 says, "The Lord will give strength unto his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace." Shalom. Shalom signifying completeness in the presence of restful well-being in every sense, both physically, circumstantially, and spiritually. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." In Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." There's a lot of talk today about working. Now we do have to work. It is required that we work. Scripture says that we are to be a people zealous of good works. But it's not in order for us to gain eternal life, but it's because that we do have eternal life. When Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That word counting is elego, E-L-L-O-G-A-O. Means to settle an account. It's an accounting. To settle an account. To charge to one's account. A testimony or a seal of the faith of Jesus Christ. Faith is counted for righteousness. Faith is not a work performed to earn righteousness. But faith is a result of the finished work of what Christ has done and justified us. Romans 5:1 says, Therefore being justified, comma, by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary justified us. Charged it, imputed righteousness to our account. We don't have any righteousness of our own. Scripture says all the righteousness we have is of filthy rags in his sight. So we have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. That should be a comfort to us to know that he imputes righteousness to his elect people. Justification is a legal term, and it is based on the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:9-11 says, There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. So we need to quit fretting and be caught up in a lot of the world situations trying to work this out or do this or do that. Because God has already worked the work that needs to be done. He that has entered into his rest needs to cease from our works, and that we trust in him. But verse 11 says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now we need to, as the people of God, and I believe this is where sanctification comes in, that we are to be mindful that we are to strive as a child of God to be faithful and to follow the commandments of our God that he has given to us. Let us be diligent to enter into that rest. This is called for us to do several things. The scriptures examine. We need to examine ourselves to see if we are genuinely followers of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 says, examine yourselves, wherefore ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? You know, there in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, at the judgment of the nations, the people came before Christ, says, Lord, had we done these mighty works? Had we done all of these things in your name? Cast out devils. And he says, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. People say, well, I know the Lord. I've trusted Christ. The scripture says it's not what we say, but it's what we do. It's our actions, isn't it? He that doeth the will of God shall be delivered. And of course, we know as the people of God that God, according to Philippians 2 and 13, it is God that works in us the will and the do of his good pleasure. Even God's elect needs to be saved. Election is not salvation. Election is unto salvation. So I believe in the sovereignty of Almighty God, but I also believe in the responsibility of man. I asked the question. What's the purpose of a judgment? Why a judgment if we are not responsible for some things? We're going to meet Christ one day at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Not to be judged of where we're saved or not, but we're going to be judged because of how we treated his word, how we applied his word to our hearts and our lives. We're to build upon a firm foundation, according to Matthew. And I believe that foundation is to be the church of the living God. The firm foundation, the rock, Jesus Christ. I believe there's degrees of punishment in hell. I was listening to a preacher this morning saying it didn't make any difference. One sin was bad as the other. Sin is sin. Well, I disagree with that. Why is there a judgment? Why is there going to be a great white throne judgment if all sins are same? I believe there's going to be degrees of punishment. So put forth effort to experience divine rest, God's peace, joy, power, fruitfulness, and contentment. Now, Philippians 2:12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." God has put salvation in us. We are to perform according to His works, to show and to prove ourselves that we are a child of God. If it wasn't for our works, the world wouldn't know whether we're a child of God or not, because the Lord says you shall know them by their works. Lay hold of heavenly grace, which will enable us to persevere, complying with the exhortations, will avert a fall in the same example of Israel's disobedience. Hebrews 2, 1, 2, and 3 says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time that we should let them slip or drift away from. For if the word Logos spoken by an angel was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receiveth a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by whom that heard it?" Proverbs 3, verses 1, 5, 6, and 7. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, 28, 29, and 30, "Come unto me, all you that are laboring of heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, we as a people of God need to yoke up with Jesus Christ. You know what a yoke is? They used to yoke up the oxen to pull the plows together so that they could pull together. And they share the load. When we yoke up with Jesus Christ, He says, "My burden is light. My way is easy." Because He is working out our salvation and our freedom that we have in Him. 1 John 1:16-17, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." 1 John chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, The world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear or been made manifest yet what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, or when he has been made manifest, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man, in verse 3 says, that hath this hope in him, purifieth himself as he is pure. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith that we ourselves are comforted of God. You know, we need to be in the comfort and the peace of God, that we might be a help to someone else that we come in contact with. So it should behoove us as the people of God that we be diligent, that we work, because God is working us the will and the do of his good pleasure, conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, as I approach your throne today, I come thanking you, Lord, that you are God, and beside you there is none other. Heavenly Father, I pray that there's been something said today that might be honoring and glorifying to your holy name, and that would be edifying and building up to those that heard it. And Heavenly Father, we ask forgiveness for our sins and our shortcomings to you. We do ask blessings upon our nation, that you would watch care over your elect people wherever they are, that you'd keep us from the evil forces of this world. And Heavenly Father, that we know that we as your people, and you're going to see to it, Lord, that we are going to be with you one day in glory. And then we'll be in perfect comfort and peace when that happens. So we leave all of these things into your care, and your power, and your honor and glory. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay. You don't have a song, Brother Stacy?